Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Welcome to the episode 108 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And as you can tell, unfortunately, Brian is not here with us tonight. He's currently podcasting on the Star Trek Picard cast, and as predicted, the show is taking up too much time for him to also be hosting on this podcast. If he returns to this podcast right now, he feels like that would be neglecting his family, so he hopes to return to the Walking Dead Talk Through in the last few episodes of this season. Until then, he'll be sending in feedback like the rest of you, and we'll continue to post ratings, because he honestly cannot stop doing that no matter what, which is the truth.
Yes.
So we will be taking over for the meantime, and we welcome you. And so let's get started. So we'll be covering The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 9, title Squeeze. It was written by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, as Brian calls him, the mouthful. He's been a writer on this show for many years, and this episode was also directed by Michael E. Stetrazamis. And the description of the episode is, in the mid-season premiere, our group must figure out how to get out of a precarious situation. All right, well, let's go under our ratings. So, Mark, you want to go first?
Sure, I gave it 8.9 out of 10. This is a claustrophobic episode in the beginning.
And I give it a 7.8 skanky alpha sex breasts out of 10.
Yeah. And Brian gave it a 7.5 ridiculously narrow cave / mine entrances.
That's too funny. All right. Well, we'll go on then to our listening ratings.
Well, Steve from Oklahoma City gave it 9 out of 10 Parker spelunkings.
LT from NC said, gonna give this one a 7.5 out of 10 knocking boots with your socks on.
Well, Danielle from Bronxville, New York says, 8 out of 10 zombie arm torches. It's too dark to see. Good opening episode to get us psyched for this season. Is Negan really gonna kill Alpha after that love scene? We shall see.
Yep. And Glennis from Toronto gives it a rating out of 7 out of 10 Game of Cave Hopscotch. All right. Well, that's them with our listeners' ratings. And so let's go on to Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
All right. Our first listener's Awesome Sauce comes from Glennis from Toronto. And she says, Aaron spiked hammer time on that walker. Yeah. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Steve from Oklahoma City says, that fight scene in the cave with the Whisperers was quick but outstanding. And he also adds, Aaron hitting that Zed with his metal fist as it came through the hole after Jerry. Yeah, I thought that was crazy and amazing, yeah. Too. It's just like splat.
Yeah. No, it was just, it's fun to see him like using that like weapon. It's kind of an actually cool weapon. And then next is Todd from Ohio, and he's, says, Jerry, my hero, which might be dangerous for him, so keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was all our listeners' awesome sauce for this week. So you want to go ahead with yours?
Sure. Mine would be Jerry and Aaron holding up the cave to let everyone out. Then Aaron left Jerry there to hold it up pretty much for himself to get everybody else to squeeze through, except for, you know, Connie and Magna. But he was holding it up like that one guy in Conan the Destroyer. That's all I can remember was like him with the back holding up a some sort of entrance and everything. It just reminded me of that. It just like harkens back that those old movies. And the only other point I would have was the, you know, I had to agree previously. I think it was Glennis that said it. The Zed severed hand torch that was new and useful hasn't been done before, from what I remember.
Yeah, no, I've never seen that. I actually think my first thought was like, wait, so like that actually burns pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, I had no idea. All right. Well, Brian put in some awesome sauce and he says he didn't really have any. He's like, okay, one, Carol's claustrophobia was a reference to something she said in season 1, episode 6, TS-19. And that's a good question because I actually I ran a little time, but I was trying to find some instinct where we actually did get any kind of hint at that, because as far as I could tell, it was just like, I've never seen this before, you know, in her. So I will have to go back and check that out.
Yeah, same here. I she has so many fears, though.
Yeah, but I mean, she's just been such a strong character from the start that I guess maybe
not really. In the very beginning, she was the weak-willed one that was always famous. Well, yeah, and then she grew into her own.
No. I think that's what I'm kind of like. That's what has, you know, stuck with me is just the fact that I'm like, I think she, yeah, her early beginnings, you know, she was the abusive wife, you know, dealing in this whole situation and being the weak one, to how we kind of know her now as being like making the tough decisions and like just being really strong for like, you know, like the kids or like, you know, the other people in the group. So I guess just after all this time, it kind of came to me as a surprise that, you know, anyways, I think we'll go on to it a little bit later, but that was it for him. But I guess I have to agree with everybody else. Is Aaron Spike Tan and just watching him use it on walkers, because it's really, really cool. Because I mean, if you come from the comics, I mean, like Rick never really had too
much. Well, it wasn't like the comic where Rick had lost his hand.
Well, no, right. But I don't ever really recall, unless it was later on, which I haven't read it, you know, I haven't finished the whole comic, but, you know, it never turned into like a weapon.
No, it was a claw, pretty much. That's all it was. Yeah.
And this has a nice little, seems like he can change it out. So it might be a spike this episode, and then who knows what it'll be next.
Yeah, it just reminded me of that guy in Inner Space.
Oh.
He kept switching out his hand for things.
And then the last part was just, Jerry holding up the mine shaft for everybody to get out. It was just kind of like this total like superhero moment that he tends to seem to always, you know, be there for that. All right, well, that was that. All right, so let's go on to our weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right, let's go with the first listener's weak sauce.
Sure, that would be Steve from Oklahoma City, and he states, they say they can't dig their way out because the tunnel might collapse, and then one scene later they are digging their way out. I have to agree with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess when stressful times come to desperate measures, you know, you have to do that regardless. They have to get out.
Yeah, no, totally. It's kind of your adrenaline kicks in and it's like, you know, live or die. So kind of have to do it. All right. Well, LT from NC is next. And he had kind of, well, I guess I put it this way. He said, weak sauce abounds. So if Carol is so flaked out, put her up front. That kind of struck me too. It's like, why wouldn't she be kind of in the front? But anyways, he goes, the dynamite was kind of a predictable thing, but my gripe there was you still had to have some sort of solid impact to set it off, even in the sweaty state it was supposedly in. Besides, modern dynamite is not nitroglycerin based, so it shouldn't sweat at all. And he's like, parentheses, and not to go into a whole explosive-based rant here, but the whole point of dynamite was to make the nitroglycerin-based explosive easier to handle. So he goes, so now they figured out that gamma is the leak, and I guess we get to find out if Aaron is naive and trusting enough to not question her. Negan going from rolling in the poop pit to buck naked in the woods with Alpha. I did not see that one coming. And I'll ponder on the lack of shower facilities on my own. back to the cave. Yes, they did a good job with building the tension and dealing with the lighting, but I really had a hard time getting into the action with it that dark. I agree. I had many times that seems to be something, not necessarily like also in this show, but like, you know, I've had other shows where it gets really dang hard to see stuff. Like, it's just so dark without like changing the contrast on your screen or something.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people were complaining about that. But for the fact that it's like, yeah, I had to raise the contrast on my screen throughout the whole thing. And at the very end, I got that end scene and I did not want to see that in high contrast.
Yeah. You think they would have, you know, I don't know. It just
AMC actually warned people like a week before too.
Yeah, that it was too dark or going.
No,
to dark.
The one scene.
Oh, that yeah, yeah. Well, all right. Well, he continues on. He's like, the last thing with the cave is I am so expecting a Glenn Dumpster Jesus moment with Magna and Connie, and I'm trying hard to not think about the concussion of the explosion. The fact the tunnel was supposed to be so unstable and just had bad day. Be messed up from all the possible outcomes of the explosion. I guess we'll see. Yeah. I think some of them probably still have some plot armor for the meantime. And then not the best episode by far, but still more enjoyable than most of last season of Fear. I hope they can clean some of this up and give us the Michonne stuff we've been teased with during the break.
Agreed. Yeah. Well, thank you, LT. And yes, we do love your input about weapons and what's going on, especially the dynamite. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the idea of glycerin, yeah, you're right. It would take something major impactful for that to happen. And, yeah, I agree with you completely. Well, Todd from Ohio says, Carol, she's a forking idiot. Must I say more?
Yep. Yeah. Actually, you don't. All right, Glenn is from Toronto, says, episode was too dark, and not for the first time. The Walking Dead production should invest in an iPhone 11 enabled night mode. All right, well, that was the rest of our listeners' week saw, so go into ours. I guess I'll go first. Carol, and I mean, we were kind of hitting on this, is like, I just feel like she's been such a strong character the whole series. Granted, yeah, at the beginning, but yeah, she's just been that strong character for us. Now she's being driven by anger and revenge. And then I just like add this claustrophobia. I mean, had she ever shown that before? And I guess Brian, you know, hinted back down or back to season one, but I'll just have to go back because I don't ever recall this ever being some kind of issue she might have. But I mean, I guess it can develop from trauma, but just seems to come out at exactly the right time to fit the plot. Like everyone else, the stanky let's have sex thing between Negan and Alpha. I mean, you know, besides the poop, they had to have smelled to high heaven. And I guess it was just to get Jeffrey Dean Morgan naked because, you know, we don't have Rick anymore. not that I guess it's really weak, but the hot scotch across the rocks to escape the walkers, it reminded me so much of the episode of the Fear episode, the near to mid, where June and John were using that ladder to cross across the cars with the walkers grabbing at their legs. I just like the overhead look and how they were, I mean, they were jumping, but you just imagine just, like those were cars and then they were putting the ladder and walking across it. I just kind of had that whole feel to me.
There's been a few episodes, even in the regular show, that they've done this before. That was during the times of Alexandria. Remember, what's her name, who was head of Alexandria? Her son was trying to almost like zip line across or whatever, or climb across to get to the over the by the gate. I think also where, yeah, you said that June and
John,
yeah, they did that with the cars, and then you had Morgan was actually on a car for a while as well at one point too in the very beginning of the first season,
mm-hmm,
and John had to save him.
Yep.
Yeah, there's like a whole many a times when they've used this. It's just common.
Yeah. Well, they made it through at least.
Yeah.
I mean, it is one of those. I mean, it just obviously, like, no one's going to get hurt. This, like, the very opening scene, basically.
Yeah, they're common tropes, but.
Yeah.
Well, mine would be, I have to agree with everyone else about Carol. Enough said, you know, I have my thoughts about Carol, and I just hope they don't write her off. But,
yeah,
you know, she got paid for a 3-year deal, just like Norman Reedus. I also have to agree with everyone else about the dirty, nasty, and stinky looking, quote unquote, sex scene at the end with Negan and Alpha. No, thank you. Yeah. I could have done without that.
Yeah, it was the only thing I can think that even kind of made that even kind of work to the beginning was whenever she kept, you know, she was like eyes front or look forward or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just seeing Negan actually think that he was going to die.
And yeah, it was kind of a role reversal at that point.
Yeah.
And I think he had instant fear at that point. Like, yeah. I'm being,
and that's something
out.
We don't get to, see or really have seen a lot of, and just, you know, he's such a great actor, but it was like you almost hear the shaking in his voice. So, I mean, I don't know. I love that part. But then, of course, where it ended up, I was like, like,
and she's kind of small. She only has a knife. She didn't even have a gun at hand. So, I don't know. But I'll talk about later on what it reflects based upon within the comics.
Cool. All right. Well, next is Brian. He added some comments for his week, and he said AMC premiere is at it again. They stuck another show on the episode wanting you to watch it. Was it Talking Dead? No. Better Call Saul? Nope. It was Dispatches from Elsewhere. Now, I might watch that show at some point, but because AMC is playing their shady tricks, I'm not going to run out and watch it anytime soon. I've got enough shows I can't watch as it is.
Same here.
Yeah. I know CBS All Access is doing that too with, I forgot.
Recommendations and stuff like that. And it just comes right on saying, oh, since you watched this, hey, listen to this.
But it has nothing to do with Star Trek. It has nothing to do with like I've never even like hovered my, you know, ever come across it, but it's like as soon as the episode's over, it's like, oh yeah, it's time again. I don't know what it was. It's
and
just,
these aren't even like Google Analytics either, too.
Right. They're just like, here, well, we're going to try to force you to watch this and hope you're not playing or like half asleep or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
He goes on and says, people fell on the rocks. I'm shocked. Someone got claustrophobia. Oh my God. Someone got stuck in the ridiculous narrow areas. You've got to be kidding me. It was too predictable for me.
Yeah, it was. And it was pretty much almost like a predictable horror movie. And that's kind of how they staged this. Mm-hmm. And it did look like a stage, but it harkened back to all the tropes of horror movies and zombie movies. But in this case, very much like that one movie where all the girls went spurlocking into the caverns and stuff and being hunted. But on top of that, you know, we've seen these things before.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to bring back the scariness of The Walking Dead in its own way. But I think we've gotten to the point where if you've been a watcher since day one, you're kind of immune to this.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's kind of how it's getting hard to where it's like something's going to just shock me, you know, and like, or be like, or scary. It's the zombies have become so less of a threat that it's not, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of like, oh, no, you're going to get like, you're almost going to get bit, but you're also just like, it's like, they're not like terrifying as they once were.
Yeah. And almost like, you know, they're not coming out. It's like, even in that cavern or that cave, they're walking around. You could hear them with the way they.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like a slee stack from Land of the Lost. Oh, I could hear it. Okay. I'm good. Oh, yeah. Wait, that one's not doing it. That's a whisperer. I'm going to
Yeah. And that's one thing I did enjoy about that, because it was kind of hard because it was dark, but you know, you almost kind of like had to catch the walkers that actually had knives in their hand. No, it's like those were not really the walkers. And then there's some walkers mixed in there and stuff like that. So
yeah,
Yeah. All right. Well, that was that. So let's go on to our what sauce.
What?
All right. We have one what sauce from one of our listeners, and that comes from Todd from Ohio. And he says, what? So a Negan and Alpha then? I suppose that's one way to get Negan to shut up. That's all. Yeah, I have to agree with... It did shut him up. All right. Well, that was that. So on to ours. Do you have any what sauce?
I thought I put it in a dock, but not really. I'll let you guys go through it because you got a lot. So is Brian.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, it was, and I actually saw it more on my rewatch. It was just like everybody was going back and forth in the mine while Jerry was like holding, you know, up everything for them to get out. And then, of course, you have like Carol. It's like, what the hell? It's like, if you wanted to destroy the herd, it's like, couldn't you have waited until everybody got out and then you could go back to the cave that you first came in with the dynamite and then, like, you know, use the torch and then throw it into the hole that you guys couldn't see and fell in? You know, so I don't know. I thought that was like, that could be one way to like take them out. But, you know, she had to go do the stupid thing and almost get everyone killed, or might have gotten people killed. And then at the end, it was like Magna just kept running back into the cave. It was like, you know, Jerry's holding the thing up. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, let's go. Carol, they get her and they get, you know, get her out. But then like, it was like, she was like within arm's length of the hole, you know, that she can get out. But she like stops and yells. She's like, no, she runs back into the cave to go yell, hey, there's walkers coming. And it was like a really long distance of, you know, I don't know. I was like, get out of there. Stop like running into it. So I don't know. It came off comical to me because I was just like, wait, like, it'd be one thing to like have the shot where she turns around and is all like, oh, hey, there's walkers coming, which, you know, could have been whispers or whatever. But it was this long shot and she runs like almost like halfway into the cave, like where they came from. I don't know. I was like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And all right, that was all I had. And Brian, he said the cave just reminded me of the storm scenes. That is, was obviously on a stage. I'm probably being too hard on it, but that's how I felt. It felt manufactured. Speaking of that, which was worse, the jumping around in the caves or the jumping around on the cars in Fear last season? I'm a little fed up with the teenage angst that is non-teenager Magna. If she's done, then fine, but I have a sneaking suspicion it'll be Connie who's done and not Magna. The only person that will miss Magna is Yumiko. I say a little more in my voicemail, which we'll get to that. And then sex with Alpha? Gross.
She got cooties.
Everyone, I think, agrees. Sex with Negan after he fell in the poop? Gross.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot of people seem to have problems with them wearing socks while doing it, but as several recent text messages sent to me have called it, nothing will take down Mr. Hoo-ha faster than cold feet. and that's your the more you know little episode.
Do, 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 do,
yeah.
Do.
I had to get that sound effect now.
All right. Kyle, we have this just in. Brian has added something a little bit more to his awesome sauce. So basically he says, wait, after I recorded my voicemail, I found one huge one. So, in the AMC video for this week, spoilers, inside the Walking Dead mid-season 10 premiere, the making of Alpha's secret caves, they are using our The Walking Dead talk-through theme music.
Hmm?
So, listen at 6 until 8:17. So, he's got a link there. We could actually post that in our notes.
Yeah.
So, if you listeners want to go out there and listen to it, more than welcome to. I'm actually going to have to go check that out after we record.
Yeah, same here. Oh, wow. Cool. All righty.
Now we're on to the sad variety. Or sad or aw sauce. So, Glynis from Toronto says, Magna parting on bad terms with Yumiko. Now is she going to make it out alive to be given a chance to reconcile? That's a good question. There are a lot of previews that are out there. I believe some people have spotted her. A lot of my friends who love searching all that stuff. I see her in this. I see her in that. And there was some sort of spoiler kind of, Instagram at one point where they saw a body, but they didn't know who it was. Similar to Magna, similar to Aaron. Who knows? So we won't know until, another episode or two. So we'll find out. I'm pretty sure. I have a funny feeling they're all going to get out alive.
Yeah.
And later on, because they're going to need them for the war. Come on.
Yeah. Yep.
So she continues on saying, poor Daryl. Both maybe losing Connie and his relationship with Carol is probably over as a result of all Carol's rash actions that got them all into this predicament in the first place, which is true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who knows? We don't. I know. What's her name? Who plays Connie? Lindelof. Is it? I'm forgetting her name. All right. Well, regardless, she's portraying in a Marvel's movie. So she's filming the Eternals. And I know that at the time that they were filming these things, they were filming some of the Eternal stuff within Georgia. So mm-hmm. I have a funny feeling she still will be within the season. And like I said, they need more people. So they need slingshot shooters. Mm-hmm. So her and Kelly, definitely. So, yep. And plus they need to broach that aspect between the two sisters and, you know, and Kelly having problems with her hearing and give at least Connie something to leave Kelly off with, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Lauren Lindelof. All right. Or not Lindelof. I'm confusing her with a director now. Oh. Excuse me. Sorry.
All right. Well, that was all of our listeners, sad or aw sauce. And so we're going to ours. I don't know if I'll just go ahead with mine just because it's just not as long as your guys. Okay. I mean, I guess I feel sad for Gamma because I don't think she's going to live through all this. but I do. It's like I like to see a redemption arc or, you know, redemption characters, but in the end, in this world, that usually means she dies. So I'm, you know, she'll hopefully will be able to help our group in some good ways, but just whether or not she's actually going to live through it all, I don't see it. So I'm a little sad of that.
Yeah. Well, mine would be, as much as I'm annoyed with Carol and the way they're writing her now, because she's going to the point of working with Daryl, not working with Daryl, just going on her own, being unpredictable. And it's pointing more towards the writing of she might be a loss later on or towards the end of the season. And I'm thinking maybe they're going to write her off in some way. I wonder if they're going to give her her true comic death. Who knows? But there was a scene once the cave exploded and imploded down onto them after they got out. Daryl reacted really, really aggressively to her because she was crying, trying to plead and say, just say it, just say it. Mm-hmm. But he raised his fists a couple of times, ready, like every time she tried to approach him, like he was going to deck her. And we haven't seen that in a long time out of Daryl, not since like the first three seasons of the way he reacts. And he's known Carol at this point for how many years?
Yeah. Well,
and they've had this attachment, and he never saw him throw any sort of aggression. Usually he gets upset and goes introverted at that point. But now the character has changed. Why would they regress him back to, oh, don't touch me, I'm going to hit you? Mm-hmm. You know? And I don't know.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to see where they're leading this towards, but
yeah,
I, I mean, as long as she's been on this show, it's like, I would hate for anything to happen to her. But yeah, you're right. It's like Carol in the comic was gone like super early.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, you know, in this universe or this world now, it's kind of...
Yeah, I'm curious of what their game is, what they're trying to do with her, how they try to evolve the character from where she was, or it doesn't evolve after this. It just goes south because she's already lost almost everybody she cared about, at this point. You know, who's really left? Daryl, Kingy, but who knows how long Kingy has left?
Right. It's
at this point.
It's kind of maybe they're going towards a direction where it's just like, you know, this will be finally what, you know, like makes her snap and she just can't take it anymore. Cause we've seen her in so many like very low moments or very like, you know, introverted or, you know, she like wants to keep everybody away, to like maybe being in some kind of situation where it's just like she can't get away and then she just kind of goes nuts, but I don't know. It's
like, yeah, the actions that she's doing is taking action, but in this case, it's almost like it's really putting people in trouble at that point, and, where it could hurt other people, and that's where Daryl was trying to portray it to her, but she just can't get it, and you know, I think in her mind she can't rationalize anything, and I feel it's going to be like a downward spiral. I don't know if there's a way for her to redeem herself.
Yeah. I mean, she does say earlier or like later on where she's like, she doesn't want to kill. What'd she say? It was like, she doesn't want to kill Alpha. She wants to hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then kill her. But like, you know, she's...
Yeah, there's no rationalizing about it. It's either A, you want to kill her, or B, you want to hurt her. So what is she going to do? Kill Lydia when she gets back?
Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. So Brian left off with something. He says, I feel sad for Carol. Her grief is now putting other people in danger and maybe have even gotten two people killed. She may have forever damaged her relationship with Daryl if Connie doesn't make it. Which, you know, he hits all points there, too.
Yep. All right. Well, that was it for our sad and awesome. All right. Well, now I guess let's go into our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
And now our feedback comes from the one and only Brian. Ah, this is kind of a difference. All right, so let's listen to it.
Hi, this is Brian, and of course I'm leaving a voicemail. Why wouldn't I? Anyway, I miss doing the podcast, but I had to kind of, with Picard taking up as much time as it is, we're having to do ridiculously long podcasts. In fact, not this past one that we released, but the one before that was over 3 hours long. So, and they've all been at least 2.5 hours or close to 2.5 hours. So anyway, I hope to be back at the end of the season, maybe the last three episodes, and podcast with Mark and Kyle. But anyway, I didn't love this episode. It was okay. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. I would have to give it a 7.5. Ridiculously narrow cave entrances. I don't know. That whole thing with the cave or mine or cave mine or mine cave or whatever it was. I don't know. It just seemed... reminded me of Planet Hell from Next Generation times. Like, you know, a made-up cave and a made-up mine. Because, of course, what else would it be? So it just seemed, I don't know, manufactured. It reminded me of, you know, last season when they did the storm. Because that was very much made up. And, you know, I made a lot of fun of that when it was on. So anyway, it didn't really work for me. The scenes with Negan and Alpha, well, especially, you know, the big scene there, that's just gross. It's gross because, well, you know, poop was involved. I mean, he fell into poop, and then he turns around and, you know, has sex with probably the dirtiest woman on the face of the earth. So for me, that's just not going to work. As far as the rest of the episode, I was sad about Carol. She just seemed to be stuck. And unfortunately, Magna and Connie may pay the price. And, you know, for that matter, I pretty much want to guarantee Magna's going to survive because nobody really cares about Magna. So Connie will be the one that dies from that. And Daryl will find Magna because of reasons. So beyond that, that's about all I have to say. So anyway, hopefully you guys will have a good podcast. Sorry I can't be there. But I need to go spend time with the wife. So hope all of you out there will enjoy these guys, and eventually you'll hear me again. But until then, you will hear this. You'll hear me with the ratings that I give to them anyway. But I'm not going to record something for that. But anyway, with that, talk to you later.
Oh, thank you, Brian. And I can't believe I actually get to do this. You get a showcase showdown. thank you, Brian. We're definitely going to be missing you during, you know, the time that you aren't going to be able to join us. And can't wait for you to join us later in the season. But, you know, keep up the feedback. We're definitely going to keep it, you know, letting everybody get to hear your thoughts. And we'll hope to be having you on soon. All right. All right, well, next we get a voicemail from Steve from Oklahoma City, and so let's listen to that.
Hello, Walking Dead Talk Through. It's Steve. This is for Squeeze. Really love this episode. The tension was just right there in the whole cave scene. Everything they did, they had me. I got a little confused now when they came out of the one section. It was almost like an Odyssey kind of thing where they'd make it through one section and they go, oh, and they'd have a breather, and then suddenly they'd have another section they have to go through, and then another section, and then these multiple sections, which was cool. But the only one that I wasn't sure about was the one when, was it Magna or Connie came out on the ledge and almost stepped off, and Daryl pulled him back, and they saw all the Zeds down there at the bottom of the whatever that ledge was. And then the next scene, we see them walking through another section of cave. So I didn't get there if they had to cross that gorge, if they found another way around it or what. I was a little confused on that, even watching it twice. And, but other than that, it was really, just really good. Like I said, the tension really mounted. And of course, the stuff with, Negan and Alpha is just ew. But it's not gonna make me stop watching the show or anything. It just was kind of ewy. And, I did find it kind of interesting though, the fact that Magna didn't even, like, she didn't have the concept to even suspect her people, until Negan brought it up. And that just shows how, I don't know if it's arrogance or just, you know, pure hubris on her part to think she has such a hold on Gamma, but it takes Negan kind of snapping her out of it and realizing, even without a lot of proof even. So can't wait to hear what you guys thought. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Steve. And as you know, feedback, you get a showcase showdown too. thank you again for all your wonderful feedback that you've given us throughout these seasons. So we definitely look to hear more from you and what your thoughts are for the, you know, for the rest of this season. So thank you again. All right. Well, then let's head on to you.
Yeah, we got listeners first.
First listener feedback, Glenn is from Toronto. Negan and Alpha, just ew. Really getting down and dirty. Negan's got himself a new quote-unquote squeeze. Big smiley face emoji. she adds on saying, Jerry doing a Samson holding that support pillar up. Don't cut that hair now, Jerry. Yeah, she saw that too, but I thought Conan the Destroyer. she continues on saying, can Carol redeem herself and stop being so impulsive and endangering everyone around her? Or Daryl banishes her? Like Rick had did in season 4, episode 4? It's a possibility, but I don't think Daryl would actually banish her.
Yeah.
Unless Maggie comes back and says, get the bleep out. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't think Maggie's coming back until the very end.
Yeah. Yeah. Then
she continues on. The last bit she has would be, I think Connie is a goner, as she looks as if she's following and denies footsteps, as she, Lauren Ridloff, is in the movie The Eternals, just like I spoke to before, and she corrected me and gave me the right name, Lauren Ridloff.
Should have read the comments before.
Sorry, I had a late night at work.
It's all good. All right, well, that was it for our listeners' feedback, which is a little bit slim this, you know, episode, but, you know, I think people are probably going to start, you know, we'll start watching more once.
Oh, I hope so. On.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I'll just go on with mine since you just read the last listeners.
Sure.
So I just kind of miss Negan's long-winded, warty speeches. Like, Negan's been a very interesting character, you know, through the whole, you know, series. But, you know, we had 2 years of him where it almost kind of like was so overboard that, you know, you either liked him or you hated him or you just like were annoyed with him. But since we've kind of had some time to get away from that, it's just fun to hear him when he's talking, like, you know, when he was like, he's talking to Alpha and he's just all like, he's like, I try to like write some of it down, but you know, he just like, he's like, oh, are you zig and you zag? And like, you know, like just the little thing that he, his little one liners and stuff like that when he's like doing his little speech. And it's like, I don't know. I love, it's kind of like, I miss that part of him because it always is like this word salad of just like really funny, like, you know, choices of words. Yeah. But I also love how, like, he's so much louder than the Whispers. And I'm just so surprised that they let him speak as much as they do because, he does not know how to whisper.
No, he doesn't.
It's like there was a part of the episode where he was talking to Alpha. And I'm not sure if it's the same scene, but yeah, it's like he just got louder and louder and louder. And then he started boasting more and this and that. And it was like, dude, this really has to be pissing her off. and then also I found the music at time reminded me of 28 Days Later. And it always seemed to be when it was on Carol. And yeah. I went back and tried to, like, you know, just speed through it or whatever to see if I could catch it. And the music as a whole through the whole episode had a lot of, like, I don't know, like clanking and just like a little bit of like this subtle bass line kind of, or, you know, noise or something like that. But then it was like on Carol in these two specific scenes where, you know, she was trying to, she almost felt her death, lighting the dynamite.
Yeah.
And then when she was talking to Daryl, you know, saying, call me out, or whatever. Like, I actually went back and I'll see if I can add it in later. But, you listen to 28 Days Later, maybe like a minute and a half in, and then you watch that scene with her, Carol, and it's literally almost like the same thing.
Same score? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like there's this, like, driving, you know, bass line, and then this ding, 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 and it gets like, you know, more pronounced, more fast. And like, you know, it's a very good use of music to like amp up the stress or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, the first thing I thought was all like, I've heard that before.
Very intense. Was it the same person that scored it?
Yeah. So yeah, that was, that was pretty much all I had. You know, everybody else pretty much hit on the same kind of, you know, points. So let's the scene for next episode definitely is catching my eye. So,
oh yeah, the hand coming out of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. But there's actually the first few minutes is on AMC Premiere, and I highly recommend it to anybody that doesn't have AMC Premiere. If you have cable or DirecTV or satellite in any way, a subscriber to those, you could still get AMC Premiere. That's how you're able to get Premiere, because you have to have the cable subscriber. You can't just get the app.
Okay.
So I recommend it. You get it the Friday, but you get all these little tidbits, like behind the scenes, the thing that Brian was talking about earlier, that he had, you know, that Justin information he threw in about the Walking Dead talk through music that they used. Things like that are on there. These are little things that we can't get if you just watch the regular show on like cable or satellite. So these are little things that you get online. Sometimes you'll see them leaked on YouTube. You get YouTubers that'll actually show it or just discuss about it and only put images, because due to licensing, they get flagged.
Yeah.
But I would recommend it for that stuff if you're a really diehard fan. And plus, you get to see other shows too that have no commercials. Better Call Saul. You got the new new show that Brian was not happy to be forced upon. That, yeah, I realized that too, because I kept let it running and I was like, I was doing dishes or something. I'm like, why is it still playing? What is this? And I'm like, oh, okay. But there are other shows that are coming out and they'll premiere them. Now it's the new thing with the app to put it and tag it to the end. But there are other shows. There are Comic Book Men. They have the back episodes of that. So there are other things on there that you could get from AMC Premiere. So.
Cool.
My other notes would be basically, Kelly is really annoying me. Honestly, she just seemed a bit whiny in this episode. She goes, are we going to be down here long? And I'm like, oh, my God. I like Angel Theory. I love her as an actress, and I love what she does on the show at times. But the way they've been writing her is very whiny and wanting and annoying. Now, the end scene obviously was really good for the fact that, you know, she was upset because Connie, and she thought she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it's like, how long are we going to be down here? It's like, you're tougher than that. Yeah. You know, that was the only thing I had a problem with, really. Just like you, I really liked the music in the episode. It was very dark and it took me back to some old horror movies I watched, and it has like that build up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that end scene with Negan and Alpha. That was originally taken out of the comic book, and it's actually on, and I'm going to give our listeners to skip ahead if they want after this, because honestly, listeners, this is good info. So skip in 1, 2, 3. Okay. So basically on issue number 156 of The Walking Dead, that was the cover page of Negan and Alpha kissing. But there was more to that story in the, within that. Basically, Negan saw a bunch of whisperers looking to rape somebody, this woman, like in the back, and he stopped them. And then Alpha wound up becoming emotional because that's how she let her guard down. Well, that is the key issue where Negan takes her head. But obviously, in the end, we didn't get that this time.
Yeah, no.
He just gets coitus. That's it. They get the boogie-woogie and little fun like that. So there, at least we get the kiss and we get that famous kiss, but visually on screen, upper half at least. I did not need to see the side dirty butt and whatever stinky mess that goes on with it. But that's where that came from. So the fact is, when will Alpha, or who gets rid of Alpha, is another story. And I'm curious to see when that happens.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear. Cool. All right. Well, that was all of our feedback for this episode. So let's go into news, rating, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right. Well, I think we have good news. Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 9 got a 1.20 out of the 1849 with 3.518 million viewers. Yay! And that's up. Yeah, that's up quite a bit since, Brian, obviously, he does this and he loves his ratings, so I'm going to do my best. But, but still, like, you know, episode 8 was a 1.02 in the 18 to 49 with 3.214 million viewers. So, that was a previously all time lowest ratings in that age group. So, good thing I think people were definitely had this on their calendar because, you know, I don't know, like about you, it's like during the hiatus, it was kind of like, yeah, there's other shows coming on. You know, we got Picard, you know, we got, you know, I mean, there was a lot of just other stuff going on, you know.
Oh, definitely. There's like, so much TV out there that you could catch up on. And yeah. I still even haven't caught up with anything that's on Netflix.
Yeah. Got many, many, many that are still just like in my list, but whenever I'll get to them. They'll be like three seasons already done, and I'll be like, okay, I finally have time to start. So
exactly,
but I mean, it's good to hear. I'm glad to see them. You know, it's up and not down. And The Talking Dead, which I wanted to watch it so bad, and I just did not have a chance. So hopefully next episode, because I know they talk about stuff in there that, you know, I don't know if you got to see it.
Oh, I did.
But it was down this time, so it got a 0.14 out of the 1849 with 522,000 viewers. So that's down a lot. The season 10, episode 8 of The Talking Dead last time got a 0.29 out of the 1849 with 1.133 million viewers. So that's, you know, it does come on later. So, I mean, I guess it's, you know, I like to think that it's like a lot of stuff I record on my DVR, and so it's just like I'll watch it whenever I can, but I don't watch it live. So and then the Parrot Analytics, The Walking Dead was not in the top 10 this week. Brian was saying he's witnessing what he saw on Picard do a few weeks ago. There seems to be a lag with the Parrot numbers, and so this week's chart only covers up to Friday of February 21st, and he would expect that The Walking Dead to chart next week and should go up from there. And if it doesn't, that should tell us that demand for The Walking Dead isn't what it was. So hopefully, that's not the case. I mean, there's so many ways they get ratings or do ratings now, so it's kind of like, I don't necessarily trust it from like right off the bat. This is the first set of numbers. It's like, let's see where it goes throughout the week. All right. Info about this episode. He says there's a new feature on AMC.com. Inside The Walking Dead Season 10, Who Can the Survivors Trust? The cast and creators take fans behind the scenes of the war with the Whisperers and break down how Alpha has sowed chaos and turned the survivors against each other.
It's actually interesting. I like going to actually watch that. They have a lot of stuff on AMC Premiere, which goes into the offices.
Oh, yeah.
Of them and how they do things too. So if you go on to AMC Premiere, they have that as well. So they
have a lot of content then on AMC Premiere. That's definitely like, I guess worth checking out if you're a big fan. Fortunately, yeah. I don't get it through because I switched to YouTube TV. So it costs a little extra if I want it, but.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to see if I can add that into my bills. Streaming services. All right. Well, let's go into some news because there's definitely been some stuff that, you know, I've come across. And if you have anything to add, definitely jump in and add it. But the first was Danai Gurira. She signed a 2-year overall deal with ABC Studios.
Yep.
Under that pact, she will develop, write, and produce from the studios across all platforms. So that's interesting because I don't know if they have specific shows that are only on, say, I guess they're streaming or not. But that's good to hear because, I mean, she's very, very talented. She's currently serving as a showrunner and executive producer of Americana miniseries for HBO Max, which she adapted from the best-selling novel by Chimamanda. I'm totally going to butcher this.
Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
And I added it to, like, in that article, it was actually from the Johnny Davis, the president, and some of these quotes. I was like, this is awesome to hear. It's like, from Zimbabwe to Wakanda to Broadway, there is no one like Diane Guerrera, said Johnny Davis, president of ABC Studios. The scope of her talent and the breadth of her abilities are simply astonishing. We are over the moon that she has chosen to make ABC Studios her exclusive home. So good to hear. She's going to, you know, be with us for a long, long time. Not only in the Walking Dead universe, but obviously branching out. That's going to be cool.
Oh, definitely. And the next one up, that'd be Avi Nash. So he explained how his final wish on the show was deemed too extreme by the showrunners. As we know, when he turned, he went for the baby, but Rosita managed to break free and kill Sadiq again. But Avi had pitched an alternative ending for his character, which was when chatting with Metro.co.uk ahead of the season's return, the actor joked, "You know what? I wish I'd eaten that baby. I was legitimately going to. Not just because it was horrific, but also I was like, do you guys really want to act with another baby? Let's go, just go for it. Let me just do this right now."
I was like,
a little bit extreme.
Yeah. Well, and like, and as the article goes on, yeah, Angela King, I guess he kind of pitched that to her or whatever, but she was just like, was not going to allow it to happen because that was too extreme already to what they had. So it's just interesting to hear like that. There was because I think he goes on to say that like they, like film that scene, like it was really, really like long, but obviously, you know, they cut things down to kind of, you know, build what they need to build. But apparently this was something that had some back and forth. And obviously Javi was like, I want to eat the baby. That would have been a first.
Well, there's a little bit of news to a lot of listeners who've been there and watching the show since day one. Everybody knows about the Frank Darabont lawsuit that's been going on. So in early February, they just basically stated, closing in on 6 years after it all started, the $300 million legal death match between fired The Walking Dead showrunner Frank Darabont and CAA against AMC over profits from the zombie apocalypse series is finally going to trial. So a newly installed New York Supreme Court justice February 5th, so declared the parties should prepare for a trial to commence May 11th, 2020. Taking over for now-retired Justice Eileen Brandstein, Justice Joel Cohen told lawyers for both sides at a hearing Tuesday he expects the trial to last about a month, and jury selection to start May 4th next year. Well, which would be, this says February 5th, but Cohen added that he is linking the other suit that the Shawshank Redemption director and the Uber agency launched against the cabler in early 2018 on top of the initial late 2013 action. So it looks like it's actually going to go to trial come May. And I think a few other people are involved with this. Actually, that was February 2019. But even still, a lot's been going on, and that's actually going into play, apparently. So
maybe more
from what I read on other sites, too. So they're pushing for it.
It's been a long fight.
It's been a long fight, but yeah. I know that Robert Kirkman's on there, as well as Galen Hurd and Greg Nicotero.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Like anything, any kind of court, anything court, it can take a long time before it finally gets a good resolution. All right. Well, the other news that was just for all you Fear fans, Coleman Domingo has signed his first look deal with AMC Studios. And I'll read the little excerpt they put in there is like, from the moment AMC viewers first saw Coleman Domingo as a mysterious and dynamic Victor Strand in season one of Fear of the Walking Dead, they haven't been able to look away, and neither have we, said Sarah Burnett, president of AMC Networks Entertainment Group and AMC Studios. He has become a core character of the series, and as anyone who knows him knows, his talent goes far beyond that one character on that one show. He is a writer, producer, and performer who can move effortlessly between film, television, and the stage, and we are thrilled to be expanding our relationship with this extraordinary talent and individual through this first look deal with AMC Studios. And well, that's always good. I love Coleman. He is awesome, and yeah, I can't help but
he's so flamboyant and so fun to watch, and
some good directing too. Like, I mean,
oh yeah, you
know, he's multi-talented, so I'm just glad that he's, you know,
he's got a nice fashion sense too.
Yep. And I just put in there as like some, you know, I've already know it's like, you know, he stars in A24 Zola, and he's got a recurring role on HBO's Euphoria, and he will be seen in Jordan Peele's sequel to The Candyman.
Awesome.
Yep.
A little bit more news. What's going on? This is regarding Walker Stalker. Tennessee Attorney General filed a lawsuit against Walker Stalker LLC. So the complaint, which was filed February 18, 2020, alleges that Walker Stalker engaged in unfair, deceptive, or misleading acts by refusing to promptly refund consumers the money they were owed. And the suit cites several cases where consumers claim that they were not refunded their money, including Nashville, Portland, Phoenix, and London. Unlike their Portland and Phoenix counterparts, Nashville consumers and vendors did not even receive an email informing them of the defendant's unilateral and last-minute decision to cancel the event. Many ticket holders and vendors traveled to the event site only to discover the cancellation on the day of the event. It's unfortunate that this has happened here, but it's pretty much impossible for Walker Stalker Con to continue. I think in many ways, Walker Stalker Con is a victim to the show's rapidly eroding ratings of season 7 and 9. They should have stayed a single yearly conference, but they expanded too quickly. And then when they marketed, the market was no longer there, took too long to contract. Then they went into a quote unquote rob Peter to pay Paul situation, relying on future tickets to pay past debts / expenses. I want to be clear that I'm not condoning the practices of the company, and it's very sad that has happened to a lot of fans, vendors, staff, and celebrities who have not been paid. However, the show was still getting 15 million viewers an episode. Would be telling this story right now. I think James thought the well was never going to run dry, but he was wrong. I listened to his podcast and heard him say not so positive things about the show. He should have listened to himself and then realized that a lot of people would feel the same way and not expand so rapidly. And that was Brian's thoughts on the whole thing. And being somebody who's gone to Walker Stalker and has been there since, wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to say since 2015, I would say 2014, late 2013, 2014 is when I started going. And I went to this last Walker Stalker in Atlanta, which is the biggest. And honestly, when I say it's a graveyard there, it was a graveyard there. It was, as far as attendance it was concerned, in comparison to what I was told and saw from previous Atlanta shows. And I was at the previous one from the year before, and it was pretty crowded. So, yeah, it's just a sad situation. James, a lot of people don't realize, had to put his house, or actually his house was taken. They are selling his house to pay back all the debts that he has. And they go up into the millions, and he will be facing, federal crime at this point, because if he can't pay it, then he has to pay the due or pay the price at this point. So it's really a sad situation. I saw it going downhill after his partner left. And Eric was, I think his name was Eric, was there. And I think he held a lot of the financial duties, whereas James was pretty much more of the flamboyancy of what's going on in the show and somewhat of the organization of what was going on for each individual show. And he probably just got wrapped up in the idea of everything and, you know, maybe thought, okay, this is my personal piggy bank at some times, but now that's caught up to him. And
I feel
bad. You know, it's like, you know, originally when they started out, it was in great intentions, but to see the show go like that, and I've seen cons come and go. Hey, I was a Hercules Xena fan, and I used to go in the late, mid to late 90s, and I saw that kind of dwindle out. And Godzilla conventions kind of, they were in the mainstay within the 80s until the mid 90s, and not until Godzilla 98 came out, they narrowed it down just to two places. So you can only go to like Chicago and I think Japan. That's it. Those are the only two places.
Only two.
And Japan is the only one that is the biggest, because obviously that's where Godzilla came from. But all the others, you would see actors show up from, you know, you would see Kevin Sorbo at smaller conventions or more organized or renowned conventions that have been there for over 20-something years. Eventually, that's where this is going to lead to.
Yeah,
but where, yeah, there is going to be a pandemic, like a zombie show, a week before the initial Walker Stalker that was stated to happen in October of 2020. So that is a definite go, and I know a lot of people that are already going. I might actually attend for the fact that I know a couple of the managers of like celebrities that are going to be there, and when he said you should go, I guess I should go, but I have to find a bunch of people that want to go too. But it's going to be in the same place that they held the Walker Stalker in Atlanta, which is it's pretty big. So and there are going to be actors and celebrities there that were on Twitter declining, saying that they would never go to a Walker Stalker ever again. That's my thought on that. So the cons are out there, and I always recommend, if you guys really want to meet these people, look for a local one or look for one that's close, or some, and you could actually find out which ones have been around the longest. So in New Jersey, there's Monster Mania, there's Chiller Theater, and you'll see the actors there as well. There's actually Mid-Hudson Civic Center. I live up in the Hudson Valley in New York, and come May, we're going to get Beta. So Ryan Hurst is going to be there. He's the big name that's going to be there. So
cool. Yeah, I'm going to go to C2E2 this year. I'm not sure anybody from The Walking Dead are going to be there. I'd have to check. I can't remember, but it's like, yeah, there's so many cons and there's so many, it's kind of like, it's sad to see, because you know how, like, you know, people can invest so much time and their money, and for it to just happen like that, it sucks. It's like, you don't want to see, I'm sure it never was intended to ever see anything bad happen to the fans. And I don't know really enough into it about, but it's like, you know, it's just unfortunate and sad to see that if it just turned into something that was being taken advantage of and then people got hurt. That's never any good.
Yeah. But, you know, always support the celebrities. And like I said, they're always out there. Yeah. You know, they're always going to be going to them, because I think Matthew Lillard stated it, when they're not working at the time, that's how they make their money. And they do appreciate anybody that comes up to them to buy an autograph or get a photo op, or just even just to come up and say that they, you know, you love them. You know, it doesn't cost much, maybe the ticket entry, but, you know, they are there.
So. Yeah, they're there for the fans, and that's what it's all about.
Yep.
All right. Well, that then does it for this episode. So to interact with us, we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at WalkingDeadGSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in a Facebook group, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. And we like to encourage you to use our email address, and that is at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. You can also find our new feedback form there, and that's at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback, and as well as we always post that on the Facebook group with the blog post before each episode to submit your feedback on there, or you can click on the link and it'll take you to our feedback form. We love getting voicemails, so if you have the time or want to start doing it, please call us at 216-232-6146 and leave your feedback there in voicemail. We love it. Deadline for the next episode is set for a regular day and time. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday, March 3rd. And as always, you know, we would always like you to go to our Facebook group of our network, which is Talk Through Media, and you can see all the shows that we're doing and everything that our network is offering. So you can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia.
Definitely. And the best way to support us would be support us on Patreon. Come on.
Yes.
www.patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Steve Brown, Alex Baelish, and Lawrence Todd.
Thank you,
and
guys.
And remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us some new listeners. And that's always the best way. Awesome.
Yep. And so, yeah, it's really fairly easy, too. You just retweet or share on
exactly.
Facebook.
Or use your Instagram and just show an image of us or you playing the video, like the podcast. Who knows? You could subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or podcast client of your choice. While you're there, just give us a rating or review. It'd be awesome.
All right. Well, until he returns, you can listen to Brian and Ruthie on the Star Trek Picard cast, which he has been having, I think, the time of his life there, but it is taking up a lot of his time for sure. But it's also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and most other podcast apps. And you can also find it at StarTrekPicard.com. All the episodes are available on the Star Trek Discovery podcast feed, as well as StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. So you can either go to StarTrekPicard.com or StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. Takes you basically the same place. And then also the Facebook group is at Facebook.com/group/StarTrek. TTMP or TTM podcast. So Star Trek TTM podcast. Hold on. Let me redo that. And you can go to the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/Star Trek TTM podcasts. Currently it's, he has the first 5 episodes with 5 more to go. So definitely check it out if you're a fan of the Picard and want to hear Ruthie and Brian talk, cause it's very awesome. It's been a lot of fun. It's like, I'm still behind a couple episodes, but I'm, you know, trying to catch up when I can, but I'm almost kind of like, I want to get on that show.
You do?
Yes. I also don't have a whole lot of time either. And so
I always miss the deadline to get feedback in because it's literally within like a day or so.
yeah it's the same. And they also have a new Patreon for that podcast, and that's patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. And so if you enjoy their work and want to donate, definitely head and check them out there. Mark, what's been up with you?
Oh, you could hear me on Panels to Pixels podcast on the Next Level Radio Online Podcast Network. So currently Steve Brown and I are pretty much working on season 3 of Daredevil. We're probably almost halfway there with the season. Well, we appreciate anybody's feedback that are actually going to rewatch it again. I'm just sprucing up because we needed something to talk about, and I felt, you know, this is the last of the Netflix It was one of the last, and it was one that started the Netflix revolution for Marvel. Mm-hmm. So to me, I wanted to go back, started to watch it, and it took me about over like a year and a half, 2 years to go and watch it. I only got to watch the first 6 episodes, so Steve and I fell on that. And we said, all right, let's do this. And then we were going to go into probably a few other podcasts that we like shows that we loved. Like, you know, hopefully The Boys will come out soon. And we love doing The Boys. We didn't get a chance to do that episode by episode. So look out for that one when it comes out.
That'll be awesome because I love that. Yeah, I love that episode, but I listened to you when you guys were covering that after, you know, after I'd already watched the whole show, but it was like, it was fun to go back and like, just go back and rewatch them and just listen to it. So check them out. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so the next episode of Walking Dead season 10, episode 10 is called Stalker. It was written by James Barnes. We don't know who it's directed by, and we don't have a description that I think I... Yeah, I did not see one posted yet.
Hold on. No. Okay.
No. Okay. All right. Scratch that. So, yeah, we don't know what, you know, the description is. So we will definitely have to wait and see next week. All right. Well, so until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk. Good night.
Good night, everybody.